Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at YouTube.com/ Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the notify bell next to it. And make sure you're always getting that fine, fine, juicy Going In Raw content, Larson. I find it funny that nobody would want to watch Going In Raw on a daily basis. We're also available on Patreon, patreon.com/ Steven Larson. We're not doing this live for anybody right now.
No, but we'll do it live tomorrow.
That's for everybody, but for the patrons.
Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
You get all sorts of live streams, early access, bonus episode, another non-news this week. All sorts of great stuff on the Patreon. Patreon.com/ Steven Larson.
We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees at ProWrestlingTees.com/ Going In Raw.
It's not working. Oh, that one's working. Must be on the dirt sheet one that I have it.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, we got all sorts of great, great shirts that you can wear. I'm wearing my Elias shirt.
I'm wearing my New Day Rock shirt.
No other reason than this Elias shirt is actually really comfy.
Oh, that's good.
I'm actually surprised. It's one of their like regular shirts, not like vintage or anything.
Yeah.
But it's really comfy.
Well, that's good.
So that's why I'm wearing it. He's not on the SmackDown brand.
No.
He's usually not even on pay-per-views.
No.
But I love Elias.
He's good.
I think he's great.
I think he's great too, Steve.
Great.
We're in agreement.
You know what else is great?
AJ Styles. He's great.
Podcasts of reviews of pay-per-views that come right after the pay-per-view ends.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of what we're doing right now.
Yeah, we're going to try this out, see how it does.
Yeah, I like it. I think it was a good idea. I never wanted to. I always sort of had this in my mind that we should do this to boost numbers, a.k.a. get money.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't want to put you out. You had to drive all the way out here. It's Sunday.
Well, while I'm here, might as well get it done.
When in Rome.
That's why I said we should just do it this time.
When in Rome. We should do it. Anyways.
I don't think you're using that phrase correctly.
I'm totally not. Anyways.
Let's Clash. Clash of Champions WWE 2017 Pay-Per-View Network Spectacular.
It's in the books. It's done.
It just ended about 20 minutes ago. All in all, a pretty fun show.
I thought it was entertaining, man. I thought it was like back when SmackDown used to do wild card finals.
Yeah.
When they used to do like mega episodes that are like, you know, sub-pay-per-view, but still... Even as a pay-per-view, this is really good. I thought it was entertaining. Fun.
All the matches were good quality.
You know, I say that, and then tomorrow on Twitter, all the wrestling critics are going to be like, worst pay-per-view of the century. I thought this was a lot of fun.
It was fun. Let's get started. What?
The pre-show?
Yeah, let's get started with the pre-show match. Feud of the Year 2017, maybe.
Oh, yeah, for
Shoo-in
sure.
Shoo-in for Feud of the Year 2018.
Oh, absolutely.
This match, Mojo Rawley versus Zack Ryder.
Mr. Mojo's got new Sinister heel theme music.
And a new Titantron package,
Titantron package.
But sadly, old ring gear.
Okay, so I don't want you to tell me Zubaz pants.
Zubaz pants.
Don't, man, come on. If he's a heel, I get your point with the Zubaz pants. But they're dumb. They're so bad for ring gear. Give me heel attire for Mojo Rawley. What should he wear?
Zubaz shorts.
Stop saying that. Anything
Zubaz tights.
You don't think he should just go like straight up like black trunks, black tights?
He looked like a young lion then.
But with like an M on his butt. Like a sinister looking M for Mojo.
No.
On his butt, because that's not young lion.
No. I agree. There should be darker colors with some... brighter highlights.
How about this? What if he went full Superman 3? Remember what happened with Superman 3?
It was just subdued colors, yeah.
It was like dirtier versions of what
he
was.
Yeah, that's good.
He should just be a dirtier Mojo.
Okay.
Play up his dirty aspect. He cut a great promo
on Twitter,
on Zack
right?
Ryder. It looked like he was in his maybe home gym or his garage, or maybe it was an actual gym. I don't know. It was like a Rocky 3 gym, you know, like an Apollo Creed gym.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, not like the fancy one where the media came out. And he cut like a 2-minute promo, which went like in the wrestling community went viral.
Yeah, a lot of people were speaking highly of it.
People were talking good things about it. He spat a little bit too much, like, and it didn't go all the way out. It like lingered,
dribbled out of his.
It was kind of gross.
Mouth onto his lips a bit.
But he mentioned Zack Ryder going to Disney World, I guess.
Yeah.
And you know, I hope you had fun at Disney World because you're about to be murdered by me in the ring, something like that.
It was foreshadowing.
It was really effective. It was really well done. And then their match This was one of the most intense matches of the night. I mean, I can't really see. Number one, I don't know how long this match was. I'd speculate around 12 minutes.
I don't think it was that long.
Okay.
Eight.
The pay-per-view ended with 15 minutes to go until 8 o'clock.
They could have given this match a bit more time.
Who should have been in the actual pre? Ty Dillinger versus who's been Ty and somebody else have been having dark matches, like pre-show matches. I forget who. Ty and one of the other guys you never see on SmackDown.
Canellis.
Yeah. Canellis. Good guess. That should have been the pre-show.
Yeah,
why
that'd
not?
Be good. That'd be
just
good.
Put those guys on TV.
6:55. Was the length of that
they
match.
Could have had a Ty Dillinger Canellis match and a Mojo Zack Ryder match.
Is that right?
And still fit into the pay-per-view.
Apparently, this is according to Wikipedia, the AJ gender match was only 13 minutes long and 40 seconds. It felt way longer than that.
That actually doesn't really surprise. That feels about right. Because right. Here's the thing. You know why it feels longer. Because it was a good gender match, which we never get. So we just figure that, it must have gone long.
Yeah.
That's about right.
I mean, for the most part, it was wrestled at gender's pace, which is a slower one. But anyways, we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. Anyways, this match, Mojo Riley versus Zack Ryder, had a lot of good passion behind it. I thought it was a decent match. They really went at it from the get-go. Really great way to what I hope this is a kickoff to a feud.
Yeah.
That's why in our predictions, which you won based on this match. I kind of figured that, you know, if you're going to, Mojo's not going to be feuding with anybody else anytime soon. I mean, hopefully they get him something with Ty. That'd be fun. But I kind of feel like this Zack Ryder thing has more legs to it. I was hoping that Mojo would do something, you know, to DQ himself.
Yeah.
Thus justifying another match. I don't know how they can justify another match unless Zack Ryder sort of has an epiphany like, hey, I need to wake up and be better than this.
Yeah.
But that Mojo finishing move where he just comes off the ropes now.
And then delivers a knockout blow via elbow.
Dude, I love it. I thought that was great. Because
Zack Ryder sold the heck out of it.
He felt like a sack of potatoes. It was great. Mojo came at him full force, and our jaws both went, ugh.
Yeah.
And then it was like, that's his finish?
Yeah.
That's
good.
Cool.
It's good.
That's
we should also say that Mojo, the top of the ramp, when he comes out for his matches, he gets into a four-point stance.
Yeah.
Because he used to be a football player.
Yeah, because his football
stuff. And
then
charges at a full sprint towards the ring. So he's keeping some of the hype.
Yeah.
He's still kind of hype.
Well, he's harnessing the hype for evil now as opposed to good.
Yeah.
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 I wonder, like, if he kept the party aspect of the hype, how that would translate into heel territory. Would it be just like parties that you don't want to go to? Or are they parties where, like, ooh, it's like a drug den party where somebody could die? Are they just parties that go way too far?
Could be.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Anyways. Or maybe it's just a party, you show up and he just starts yelling at you.
Could be.
Like, I mean, I think.
Like, he invited you, but you show up and you said, who said you'd come to this?
Like, yeah.
Well, you did, Mojo.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
And the party stops. Like, there's a record scratch needle.
And then everybody just stares at you.
Yeah.
Everybody stares at you. And Mojo's yelling at you. What are you doing here?
Exactly.
You invited me, Mojo. No, I didn't.
No, I don't think I did.
Don't think I did. And you leave. You say, Mojo, we good?
No.
Yeah, you just drop your head and walk away.
Right. And then, like, as you're walking away,
he throws a shoe at you.
Well, you hear somebody from up on the balcony, like, yelling at you, and you look up, and it's Mojo. He's made his way up to the balcony, disrobed, and he's standing there with a rager, and he's, like, yelling at you. And, yeah, he's throwing a shoe at you as well. And then he says, give me my shoe back.
But it's like, Mojo, you threw it at me. Give it back to me. That means I have to return to your house.
Exactly.
And he goes, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
And the cycle starts all over again.
It sounds like the worst
part. It's like a Kafka-esque nightmare.
Kafka-esque nightmare.
Because you leave the house again after you return a shoe. He returns to the house. Yeah. He yells at you saying, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And you tell him, you told me to come back, but you threw your shoe at me.
Yeah.
And Mojo goes, no, I didn't.
Oh, man.
And he's like, all right, I'm fine.
It's the most 2017 party there is.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I love it. That's great. I like that a lot. Anyways, that was a good match.
It was a fun match.
Deserved to be a bit higher up on the card. Like, I figured it would be Ascension versus who's low on the who's in the
pretty
tag.
Much anybody in the tag division that wasn't on the main card.
Who else?
The Colognes.
Are they still even around?
Yeah,
are they on SmackDown?
They were backstage when Shane was doing his pep talk.
Oh, that was the worst.
Before Survivor Series.
All right.
Next, the pay per view actually started.
Mm-hmm.
First match was Bobby Roode, the glorious Bobby Roode. Versus Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin for the United States Championship.
Bobby does his weird thing where he comes out to the ring And sometimes he does this up on the ramp too. And like one side of his mouth starts to try to go up here, and the other side of the mouth tries to go up here also. But he has this really pained look on his face, and I'm curious as to what you think that is.
Well, he doesn't want to be doing what he's doing.
I think it's him.
I think that's it, because when he smiled in NXT, it seemed genuine because there was like a character behind it.
Right, exactly. It looks it's the most pained smile, man.
I know.
Oh, man. So we totally thought this was going to go. No, I did not watch this match because my child was crying. But you did. I watched the rest of the pay-per-view.
It was a fun, fast-paced match. Yeah, decent match, right? Yeah, for, you know, one of the advantages of a triple threat match is there shouldn't be a whole lot of downtime. Should be a whole lot of rest holds. There should be nonstop action for the full 13 or so minutes of the match, and that's what we got here.
Yeah.
We got some spots. We got the spot where someone powerbombs someone while they're in superplex position, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Your true staples of a triple threat match.
I came in briefly during the superplex, super powerbombplex thing.
Yes.
So that was fun.
That was fun.
The finish, kind of interesting.
Well, let's go back a little bit before the finish.
Oh, sure.
So Bobby hits his finisher, glorious DDT.
Okay.
Goes to cover Dolph. Baron goes to toss Bobby out of the ring. Mm-hmm. Bobby reverses it and tosses Baron out of the ring.
So that was a swerve on what we thought. And
like,
I mean,
someone listened to the show and said, oh, they're on to us.
I wonder if Vince was on his way. Vince might have been on the way to the show this morning or whatever, wherever he goes in the morning, and was listening to Going in Raw Predictions Clash of Champions 2017. Yeah. And because he listens to it in audio form, he didn't have time to watch it.
No.
And heard that, you know, you, and this is you, but I was like, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense, as they always do, had said that you felt it was going to be glorious DDT. Baron throws Bobby off of Dolph.
Then pins
he
Dolph.
Gets the pin.
Yeah.
Because Dolph existed in this match to eat the pin.
Yeah.
And they did not do that.
No.
He apparently existed in this match to become new transitional United States champion.
Yes, I know.
So continue on with the finish.
So anyways, Rude goes for the cover on Dolph. Baron pulls him out of the ring and breaks up the pinfall.
Right.
Bit more action. Corbin gets Rude in end of days position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bent forward.
Yeah.
Dolph comes in the ring, delivers a zigzag to Baron, covers Baron. He is new U.S. champion, transitional champion.
Yeah.
So eventually, probably at the Rumble, Dolph will drop this belt to Bobby Rude, yes?
I would do. There's 40 days until the Rumble?
Yeah.
I suspect that's going to happen before the Rumble. I don't know if they're going to defend. I mean, I always forget how many titles are actually defended at the Rumble, but I feel like the U.S. title is kind of too low on the totem pole to be defended at the Rumble. I think all these guys are going to be in the Rumble.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. There was a pretty solid Bobby Roode chant going on during this match, too.
Was there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. My thing about Bobby Roode right now is, They need to find a way to keep him face and be compelling, because I think that nobody's going to accept a heel turn at this point. It's just going to be dead air if he goes heel. So they need to get him over in the capacity they have him in now, which is just glorious Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
But they need some meat to it. I'm actually kind of glad they didn't put the title on him tonight, because
he needs to build up that character a bit.
He needs to build up the character so people care when he wins the belt.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, the crowd was chanting Bobby Roode.
Yeah, they were.
That's good.
Kind of surprising, but they were.
Yeah.
But I would assume that Baron would invoke his rematch clause soon.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not this upcoming SmackDown, but within the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
We'll get this rematch. I don't know if Dolph will retain or drop it back to Baron. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
This outcome was a surprise as it was.
When's the last time we had like a real transitional champion when it was like a matter of days?
Oh, I can't think about it right now.
I mean, the Miz has had that IC title forever.
Didn't Sasha just hold on to the women's title for a few days?
Roman got it. Sasha and... Oh, yeah, she did. Yeah. Yeah, I think she did. Yeah, she barely lasted like 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
So, I don't know. I actually kind of like this end. It was unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Dolph gets another run with a title. Mm-hmm. I always pull for Dolph.
Oh, I do too.
You know, I've had a hard time finding his character work compelling, especially when they were doing the whole... And then he did the weird entrance without the music again. Like, why is that
after
still
not
a thing?
Doing that on SmackDown.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I know.
I thought they were over that stuff. And I wonder, again, if that was a file mishap.
Oh, it could be.
I kind of think it might have been. They've been doing that a lot lately. In my head.
Yeah.
But anyways, I don't know. I kind of like this. I like Dolph having a title again.
Yeah, hopefully it leads somewhere in like his...
Right, I know.
Intercontinental title reign.
I don't know, man. I don't know if Dolph is going to continue to be, because even when he was inserted into this randomly, Like, we hadn't seen Dolph in a while.
Yeah, been a couple weeks.
And then, but he wasn't necessarily, he wasn't like a heel or anything. He was just sort of, like this time, like when he just showed up in the locker room and said, I'm in this match now.
Well, he was still doing, yeah, no, he still was pretty much doing the same Dolph stuff he was in his feud with Bobby.
Yeah.
He just wasn't making such a point about entrances and stuff.
Yeah.
The same general demeanor.
He wasn't
as
obnoxious, though.
Well, just because he wasn't on TV as much.
Yeah.
But he was still heel Dolph.
Man of water.
That's a bummer, man. Next, we had Daniel Bryan backstage complaining to somebody that his referee shirt was too large.
Well, yeah, man. You don't want to come out there with, you know, looking like a all baggy. So I remember our friend lost a bunch of weight, and he still had the same suit.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked like a, you know, like an old-timey comedy character.
Mm-hmm.
Flapping around. You don't want that.
No.
You know?
No, I understand that he wants his shirt to fit him properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I mean, especially you. You're very particular about how your shirts fit.
I like them to be good. I mean, even this, the sleeves are a little too long on it. I like the sleeves to be a bit on
show
the shorter
off
side.
Your guns there, huh? Your muscles.
Yeah, it just looks a little more stylish these days. You know? Yeah. Nobody wants a big baggy shirt. For some people, it works. Like, I was watching like a hard time, like a docuseries on prison life. Fascinating. They're talking about their economy system there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they, instead of currency, like dollars, coffee.
Interesting.
Little baggies of coffee.
Huh.
And one guy was like, I don't need coffee, therefore I'm like the treasurer. Like, he was just collecting coffee and like, don't, because he's like, I don't drink coffee, so I have a lot of money.
Do they get like, you know, like a daily ration of coffee in
I forget.
This prison?
I think it's like, I don't know what it is. And I don't know why, like, why is coffee so, something that's so, like, if coffee was currency, I wouldn't drink it.
Oh, I wouldn't either.
I would hoard it and have better things like Twinkies and chips.
Uh-huh.
That's just me, though.
Yeah, that's interesting.
One guy was bought like a pair of J's with some freaking coffee.
Wow.
Kind of impressive.
Yeah, it is. That's cool.
Shane McMahon shows up, and he's like, my shirt work fits perfectly.
Well, it's because it's one of his usual jerseys that he wears.
Yeah, I know, exactly. He's worn it before.
Yeah.
And he's like, how is this going to work? He was like, Daniel, I'm not huge on you doing this whole second ref business. I brought you in, and Daniel Bryan's just like, well, we'll figure it out. Maybe we should have this conversation in private.
Acknowledging the camera in the room, which they don't usually do.
Why didn't he look at the camera? Why didn't he just literally
say... They both should have done this.
Exactly, yeah.
Just like that.
Oh, man. Because they never, like, all sorts of private conversations happen while cameraman's there.
I know. I mean, that was supposed to be their office.
Yeah, exactly.
How much more private could it be? They have to go to, like... One of their rental cars.
Right, exactly. Oh, man. Know. Next up, Baron Corbin was interviewed
after his loss, and he threw a garbage can.
He was stomping through. He was, you know, with a head full of steam coming through the hallway, and Dasha stops him, you know, and she's doing good work these days.
She is.
She's not quite as robot-y as she used to be.
No.
And she stops him and is like, you know, Baron, now that you had your failed cash-in, and you lost your United States Championship, some people are saying that you're a squanderer of opportunities. Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he yelled at her and then threw a garbage can.
Yeah.
Hopefully it didn't hit anybody. Because no, it sort of ricocheted off the side door.
I don't remember anybody else being in that hallway. It hit the door jam.
But then went off camera down the hallway.
Oh, I thought it was the hallway just going behind him, not...
No, it went off camera.
Oh, okay.
So it might have hit like a low-level writer. Anyways,
be safe.
He was pretty steamed. He wants to get that United States.
Hey,
I'm us champion. You're not. Now I'm not us champion.
You're us champion. You're not me.
But you're not me. He's so confused. You can buy that Slow Wolf shirt. You're not me right now. Pro Wrestling Tees.
Next.
Four-way
tag
I'm
match.
I'm telling you, Aiden English and Rusev got a champion's welcome.
They did.
To this match.
They did.
Aiden English.
They're incredibly over.
Yeah, they're usually, people are, this is a great crowd. Boston was on fire.
It was a really
tonight.
Good crowd. Aiden English in the ring, a single spotlight on him.
Mm-hmm.
He introduces Machka, mm-hmm. Rusev, to the ring, wearing a Happy Rusev Day shirt. Tons of Rusev Day chants.
Oh, big time, man. And Rusev was looking like $1 million. He has like a
new ring gear.
New ring gear
purple
with a new
trim.
Color theme, yeah.
Yeah, it says Rusev Day. Aiden English continued the 12 days of Rusev song.
Oh, it was great. People were into it big time. Rusev was into it.
Big time. He's about to add a 13th day, but his song was interrupted by Chad Gable and
mm-hmm.
Shelton Benjamin.
Mm-hmm. They're going to have some sort of number one contenders match on SmackDown on Tuesday. Rusev and Aiden English are picking up these titles before the Rumble.
I think so.
Man, I'm guaranteed, especially after the reception. Mm-hmm. They might have just been waiting to see, all right, well, what kind of reception are they going to get? People, they're on fire right now. And I thought for sure, and all the teasing during the match. And who faded to the background? Gable and Benjamin, the two guys that I think they were figuring were going to get the big push.
Well, I mean, Gable ate the pin.
Gable ate the pin.
Yeah. I mean, Rusev had this section in the last third of the match where he had at least 3 to 4 near falls and submission attempts.
Accolades and all that. Yeah. And people are big into it. They're really
people seem to be on the edge of their seat. Hoping that he would pick up the win.
Fun match, though. Really fun.
Yeah, it was
match.
Fun.
Lots
was
of great
fun.
Stuff
there was
going
this,
on.
This great spot towards the tail end of Rusev's getting finishing opportunities. He puts Big E in the accolade.
Yeah, that was great.
Big E powers out almost.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rusev sinks the accolade back in. Chad Gable comes up from behind and suplexes Rusev, German suplex. And then Chad Gable went to Aiden English and suplexed the heck out of him.
Yeah, so apparently
from the initial shot, looked like he'd landed right on his head.
Yeah, I know. And then apparently in the replay, which I was too sheepish to watch, apparently it wasn't even that bad.
Oh, okay. It looked bad on the initial
shot. It looked
shot.
Really bad, I know.
And then he did the same to Big E.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, Usos retain. Jay pins Chad Gable after a top rope splash. Fun match.
This is a pretty underwhelming response to the Usos picking up this win. I mean, they've been hot, and I love the Usos.
Yeah.
But this crowd firmly wanted Rusev.
Yes, they wanted to celebrate Rusev Day.
They really did. I'm kind of disappointed they didn't pull the trigger on that one, but, you know, hopefully they're just
going to
make
it. It could be between the reception they got at the beginning and that stretch where Rusev was on the verge of winning the match. It could have all been kind of a trial run to see how the crowd would have received them. I hope Aiden English and Rusev aren't like the next Fashion Police.
Yeah, I know.
A tag team that gets over because of their charisma and their comedic chops, but then WWE just sees them as a comedy act.
Right.
And never,
right.
You know, goes all the way and puts a belt on them. Because the Fashion Police, they had that title match against the Usos on every near fall when the Fashion Police were on the verge of getting those belts. That crowd was hot.
There's the danger. I mean, I guess I could see from maybe Vince's perspective, if they're a comedy act and they have the titles, and you want the New Day to be the biggest tag team of all time, then that's going to be a problem getting those titles off of. I mean, because, dude, you've got the Usos who are tweeners, essentially. The New Day are faces. Aiden English and Rusev are now faces. Gable and Benjamin are, unless they're not heels.
Well, of the four, they're the heels.
When have they really established their heel credentials, though?
Well, nothing.
They're kind of not. They're kind of in this weird spot where, like, they were supposed to be.
I mean, they've never cheated.
Right. They were supposed to be the faces against the Usos, or at least they were supposed to be the plucky faces against the tweener Usos.
But then they just started talking trash to the Usos.
Yeah.
But I don't remember them ever necessarily cheating to win a match.
It's like they want everybody to be tweeners.
Kind of.
Yeah. Which, I guess, mathematically, does that work? Tweener versus tweener? You're supposed to.
Yeah, root for good wrestling.
Root for good wrestling. I guess.
That's what I root for more than anything else anyways. It's just good wrestling.
Me, no. Like, I'm on the same page with you, but, you know, that's not the rest of the crowd. We're podcasters.
Yeah, we want good wrestling because we like talking about good wrestling as opposed to bad wrestling.
Exactly.
Although bad wrestling can be fun to talk about sometimes, too.
The only wrestling that we don't want to talk about is boring
wrestling.
Exactly. Boring wrestling is the worst kind of wrestling
exactly.
there is. Anyways.
Usos retain. Be interesting to see who they take on next at the Rumble. Next match. Natalya versus Charlotte in the Lumberjack match.
Yeah. So Lumberjacks were, of course, the Riot Squad, the welcoming committee, and faces.
And Naomi.
Of which there were only... Well, Naomi's a face.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She was the only face out there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Becky Lynch is off
the
film. She's
shooting
the movie. There.
Yeah.
Yeah, just Naomi.
Yeah.
Face.
Yeah.
And face.
And everybody else outside the ring was a heel.
They're all heels, yeah. And Natalya, of course, was... so am I... Did Natalya ever confront the... Because I saw Charlotte get attacked by a bunch of lumberjacks.
Oh, right at the beginning of the match, Natalya got sent out of the ring and Naomi kicked her a couple times and threw her back in.
Naomi kicked her, okay. But was she thrown out on the other side?
I don't recall that ever happening.
Because the Riot Squad should want a piece of her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, there was a great moment when Charlotte...
There's a brawl on the outside.
This is great.
And Liv Morgan's coming up to join the brawl, and she accidentally forearms Sarah Logan in the back of the head while she's trying to get a piece of Charlotte.
That was great. Did she think she was like Tamina or something? Like darker
no,
hair?
No, no, I think she just was running towards it with her elbow out.
Oh, okay,
maybe
yeah.
In the course of doing that, Sarah Logan moved in front of her.
Oh, I got you. Okay,
you know,
yeah.
Things happen fast.
That was pretty great.
It wasn't like she devastated, you know, like delivered a devastating blow.
Yeah, during that mess.
No, that was the first kind of scrub on the outside.
That was the first one, but there was like
later
another
on,
one.
Yeah, there was another huge brawl on the outside.
And Natalya had laid out Charlotte, but then Natalya was on the outside of the ring.
Fighting other people.
And Carmella comes in with her briefcase, and she's just about to cash in, and then Ruby Riott basically kicks her out of the ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, We had a cash in tease.
We did. Kind of the first one in a long time.
We're still 6 months away from her expiration
date. Yeah.
Although yeah. Somebody pointed out in chat the next Money in the Bank is a Raw pay per view. So does that extend?
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's co branded.
Oh, that's right. It's co branded. Ooh, okay. So that is an expiration date right there.
Yeah.
Expiration date.
Her expiration date is up until the second the other match starts.
Yep.
Everybody's still on the outside. Charlotte hits a moonsault. Natalya throws Charlotte into the ring post,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like Charlotte's knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
So Natalya tosses her back in the ring, starts getting to the sharpshooter. Charlotte reverses it into a figure eight. Natalya taps out.
Afterwards, Natalya turns
heel again.
Healer. She turns even. She's already coming into this a heel.
Yeah.
Right?
And then she drops a heel promo that
she
seems
says,
to indicate a heel turn.
You have all turned your back on me. Check. They've already done that a while ago.
Yeah.
You
I'm going to turn my back on you.
You. Yeah.
Which,
and
again,
you,
I thought she already did.
You don't respect me. Check. Been a while now. Been a heel. I don't respect you. That's already did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then at the very end, she says, I'm going to turn my back on you. She gets out of the ring and then she cries.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know.
Well, then she starts with, once again, Charlotte won because of her family name.
Yeah, that was weird. She won because she put you in the figure eight.
And you tapped out.
And then you tapped out.
That didn't make any sense.
I mean, it's not even like she puts you in the figure four. She puts you in the figure four, but with stank on it, and it's called the figure eight.
Yeah, I don't think you can reverse you can't reverse the pressure on the figure eight.
Right, exactly. That's not something Ric Flair figured out, so Charlotte isn't really going off just her family. It doesn't make any sense.
That didn't make any sense.
Yeah, so.
It was a weird promo.
It was a very weird promo. I'm not sure where it's headed. I mean, maybe she's going to retire? Is that like a heel's retirement?
I don't know.
Have we seen like a heel retirement before?
When Batista quit for the first time, didn't he do a heel promo when he quit?
Maybe. That sounds like
when he's all injured, when he's all bandaged up.
Was that a real retirement, though?
I don't remember. Was that his false retirement?
Because I remember Mark Henry gave a face.
Oh, that was great.
A fake face retirement?
Oh, that was fantastic.
I want to watch that again.
But
I
have an image in my head of Batista like having like a bandage
yeah,
on his
no,
head.
Yeah, no, I know what you're
saying,
talking about.
I'm done, I quit.
I know what you're talking about.
You know, as a heel promo.
I mean, this last time he left, he did kind of the same thing.
Kind of, but this is before that.
I know exactly the scenario you're talking about. I just don't know if that was it for him.
Yeah.
Or if somebody came out and interrupted him or came out the next. I don't remember. I was kind of barely watching at the time. But I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a heel retirement.
I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah. No, I'm sure it has.
But usually by the time people get the sense that you're hearing a retirement speech,
mm-hmm.
they'll start cheering and show appreciation mm-hmm. anyway. So it's really hard to still follow through being a heel while you're retiring.
Right, exactly, which is why it'd be impressive if somebody actually did.
I know, it'd be tough to pull off.
Singh Brothers interview. So Dasha shows up at Jinder's
locker room,
or his dressing room. We know that because it has his name and icon on it. And then she's greeted by the Singh brothers, and they explain to her that he is in deep meditation prior to his championship match against AJ Styles.
And they were referencing an interview AJ, I think, gave during the pre-show. And they were saying, you know, Jinder is very confident, so confident in fact that we might not even get involved in this match.
And she says, so does that mean you're not going to be at ringside? And he says, you
have to wait and find out.
Watch the show to find out. You can get it on the WWE Network.
Yes.
Next up, we had Breezango versus dun, 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 dun. What's the final
155.
On 155. So did I go under on that?
I guess so. Felt longer than that.
Wow. Yeah, it did, because there's a lot of milling about. Wow. So Breezango got squashed essentially by the Bludgeon Brothers. I mean, I know squash usually means it's a lot more demeaning to the opponent that's getting squashed.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, they did what they could.
Breezango put up more of a fight than any other tag teams that have faced
yeah.
the Bludgeon Brothers, but even that isn't saying a whole lot.
I wonder, maybe have the Bludgeon Brothers finally actually unlocked the Wyatt power And that's what's making them so strong, because they were never the strong when they were Wyatts. So yeah, Bludgeon Brothers, they won with their finishing maneuver.
Yeah, I still know what that's called, and they do a promo afterwards that got the crowd what-ing. They're what-ing.
Oh,
their
I'm
promo.
Glad I missed that one. I must have run out real quick.
They did. They finished up with the Rowan Harper Bludgeon Brothers thing that they do in the video.
Oh, okay. And the crowd was what-ing them, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love the Bludgeon Brothers, though.
Their win got a fairly tepid response.
Yeah, it did. Because a lot of the stuff was on the outside of the ring.
Well, also, a lot of people like the Fashion Police.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's that. That's kind of
mainly. Compared to previous weeks where the Bludgeon Brothers, when they squash people, they usually get a pretty good, pretty decent pop. I won't say good, but decent.
Yeah.
But there was no pop.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd want something. I mean, it's the Fashion Police, and 2B was supposed to be Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah.
You'd figure this should have more of like a payoff. I thought your idea of having them put the Ascension in there as their proxies was like a great idea.
Part of the problem, too, is they've put Fashion Files like exclusively online now.
Talk about this deserved to be on the pre-show, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But then do you want a two-minute match on the pre-show?
Probably not. I mean, the one that was only 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Not even.
That's true.
Next, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn interview. They were acting pretty confident.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to win. Not be fired.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dasha asked, well, what happens if you do lose and you get fired?
Yeah.
And they got very grumpy about things.
Oh, yeah. They didn't even give her an answer. Dirty looks and scowls and then walking away.
Yeah.
But it was a good, like, 30 seconds of dirty looks and scowls.
Yeah, they really stretched
and heavy sighs.
Yeah.
And, like,
and some.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some head shakes.
No, I didn't notice a finger wag.
No, there was no finger wags at all.
I kind of feel like they were a step away from that.
Pretty much. Next.
This was fun.
This was a fun match.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
I was kind of worried this would just be an overbooked mess. And actually, they handled it pretty much right.
Really well executed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we kind of figured what the finish to this was going to be-ish.
Yeah.
And they basically did it.
But did it really effectively
and did it in a way that it felt unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Like the sequence of events did not feel rehearsed at all, and it was like, oh, that was good. And the timing of the sequence and to finish it off was really, really good. Of course, it was Shinsuke and Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Randy Orton's hair is growing out like...
It's really fast.
Really quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I cut my hair real short about a month ago.
Yeah.
I feel like Randy Orton's hair has grown twice as fast.
Right, yeah.
The same amount of time.
It's really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some pretty decent back and forth. Orton was in the match for the better part of the first half of it, getting beat up by Zayn and Owens with flurries of offense.
Yeah.
Nakamura gets a hot tag, puts it to Zayn Owens a little bit. Action goes to the outside. Owens hits a frog splash on Nakamura through the announce table and takes Nakamura out for the rest of the match.
That was nice. So kind of protecting Nakamura a little bit. He didn't have to eat a
pin on the SmackDown, so
keep
him out of the equation here. Back in the ring, Orton hits an RKO on Sami Zayn. Shane, we didn't mention. So at the beginning of the match,
yeah, this is good.
Shane and Daniel Bryan, they both dropped down to count pinfalls, and it was horribly out of sync. And it was great. I liked it.
Yeah, me too.
Because
it just how it would be.
Yeah, no. It also shows these two guys are definitely not on the same page.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, so maybe a quarter through the match, maybe a third, they agreed to divide the ring in half.
Mm-hmm.
The side of the ring that had Owens and Zayn's corner, Daniel Bryan would count pinfalls over there. Shane got the other half.
Yeah.
So anyways, going forward again. Orton hits an RKO on Zayn. Shane goes down to count the pinfall. Daniel Bryan is kind of like lurking off frame. We don't see him.
Yeah.
Right at two, Owens pushes Daniel Bryan into Shane and breaks up the pinfall.
Right. Shane gets livid.
He doesn't see the Owens shove, so he just assumes that Daniel Bryan broke up the pinfall. Yeah. They argue.
Now, this is kind of significant right here. I just totally did Triple H. I don't know why.
Well, you didn't say I find it funny.
I find it funny. But this is really significant because Daniel Bryan bumped on Shane. He put his arms out and he tucked his head.
Yeah.
On Shane.
Yeah.
That was kind of a bump.
Yeah, a little bit.
What?
He took it gently.
There was a little bit of physicality in this match with Daniel Bryan. That's crazy.
Bit. Yeah. I know, more than I was actually expecting.
More than I would have figured, yeah.
Orton hits an RKO on Owens. He rolls out of the ring. There's this pretty fun sequence where Zayn and Orton are kind of trading roll-up attempts on different sides of the ring. So Shane has to count the pinfall. Daniel Bryan has to count back and forth a couple times. Culminating in Zayn rolling up Orton and Shane going down to count the pinfall on Daniel Bryan's side of the ring, but stops before the three count and stands up and it's all, what are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do? Yeah.
Daniel Bryan gets upset.
Sure.
Him and Shane nose-to-nose arguing. Mm-hmm. And then Zayn takes advantage, rolls up Orton on Shane's side of the ring. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan gets down, counts a fast three count.
Yeah.
Owens and Zayn win.
Yeah.
So it's not like Daniel Bryan helped Owens and Zayn win because of any sense of loyalty to him.
Mm-hmm.
He was just mad at Shane for being not being an impartial ref.
Right. So what we saw at the end of SmackDown, at the end of the go-home, kind of echoed what we saw, but at that point it was down the middle. At this point, it was a fast three count to spite Shane because he's kind of pissed off right now. Because at one point, Randy Orton was backing down Daniel Bryan, and Shane was backing down Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan had to shove him, and Shane didn't shove Daniel Bryan, but as they were getting closer, he sort of put hands on him a little bit. You know, you talked about the physicality that we saw, and there was, it was looking heated. I thought they did a really good job not going too far. We all know that he hasn't been cleared. Like, I mean, you know,
he hasn't been publicly
cleared. Right. So there was some kind of really interesting things going on with Daniel Bryan here. We actually said towards the beginning of the match when he was like, you know, patting everybody down and making sure Daniel Bryan looked like he wanted to laugh.
I know.
He seemed, there was a giddy aura about him, even though he didn't smile once.
Yeah, he seemed like he was having a blast just being in the ring again.
There was just kind of a giddy aura to him, and it was great to see. It was like, oh, wow, he doesn't have to just stand around and talk and like blah, blah, blah. It was like he's getting really involved in this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great, and I thought at the very end, him and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens all standing there together for a moment, for one shot, I was like, that looks really cool.
Yeah,
I really hope that they take this a little bit further. I don't think they're really going to, because Daniel Bryan, the character, I would think that a turn to that degree just seems kind of out of the realm of possibility for who his character is.
And also, I don't think the crowd would embrace a heel turn.
Right, but yeah, because then you have a thing where the crowd's going to follow him no matter what, and I'm not sure they don't want face heat right now on Owens and
mm-hmm.
Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of interesting. Nakamura was such a non-entity in this.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he fought.
Yeah.
But after, you know, the table spot. So I would think that right after this, I would love to think that they're going to do AJ versus Nakamura. I don't know. I'm just thinking there's not like a lot of room to play with before the Rumble.
I know.
So I don't know what they're going to do. It wouldn't surprise me if they extended AJ versus Jinder, because sometimes they like to take things one match too far.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But
don't
the thing
know.
About the main event, which we can get to now, is that the end seems so decisive.
Definitive. It was.
Definitive.
No, it absolutely did.
And leaves virtually little room for Jinder to say, hey, I deserve another match.
I know, but we've seen it before.
I know.
We still
have 4 months between now and Mania. Granted, we only have 1 month between now and the Rumble, but you can have AJ get into kind of like an intermediate feud that takes care of Rumble and the pay-per-view after,
mm-hmm.
and then you still have a couple months to build up to whoever he's going to face at Mania,
yeah.
Probably whoever wins the Rumble.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's probably the plan. Or I could be completely wrong. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Next up, our main event. Jinder Mahal challenged WWE champion AJ Styles.
AJ Styles. This was probably like the best Jinder match that we've gotten in a while.
Yeah, it really was. AJ was going all out selling for Jinder, trying to get him over. And they were telling an interesting story that actually managed to work into the finish of the match, where Jinder was continually working over AJ's ribs, his midsection. Where early in the match, it seemed like Jinder legit hurt his upper thigh.
Yeah,
his hip.
Started rubbing it. He started holding it.
Really, you know, kind of limping on it and selling it. And to the point where not only ourselves, but, you know, when we live streamed, people were convinced that he was legitimately hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So he was selling leg injury throughout the match.
Yeah.
And like I said, AJ was just selling all over the place.
Yeah.
Just bumping, 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 making Jinder look good.
And you mentioned earlier this match was at Jinder's pace, but because of the way AJ sold, it didn't feel like it.
No, it never felt boring.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
It felt deliberate.
It wasn't anything Jinder couldn't do. It's just, like, you know, when you have a guy like AJ Styles in there, you're going to get the best out of whoever he's in there with.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we saw, Jinder's best effort.
You know?
And good for him. It was a good match. It was a fun match.
Yeah. So at one point, AJ hits his springboard 450. Singh Brothers try to pull Jinder out of the ring. AJ mm-hmm. kind of prevents them and then, you know, does a springboard forearm on Sunil Singh. Styles clash for Samir.
Samir always takes those, man.
I know.
Yeah,
and we expect the finish we've seen countless times where AJ gets back in the ring, Jinder hits Colossus,
mm-hmm.
Jinder wins. We didn't see that this time. In fact, we eventually saw Jinder hit a Colossus, mm-hmm. only for AJ to kick out.
Yeah, they gave it a little bit of air to breathe. Although, I mean, it does seem that, and I hope this isn't the case, but AJ kicking out of the Colossus might be the biggest clue as to what's coming for Jinder afterwards, which is going to be a steep decline.
Yeah.
That's just probably the way it's going to go.
Yep. Hopefully, Jinder, with the experience he's had at the main event level, can at least bring some of that experience to the mid-card and hold a decent spot there.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I don't know. Like you said, Mania is, 4 months away?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe a change of scenery to Raw would be good for him. There's a lot of people that he can feud with on Raw in fairly high-profile spots. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I like Jinder. I know a lot of you guys out there. He's not a great wrestler, but he's packaged like a champion.
Yes.
He's a decent promo.
Yeah.
Looks great.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I like to see people succeed. It's always a bummer when somebody gets so high and then there's nowhere for them to go except for down,
I know.
So.
I know. So eventually Jinder, I think he tries at one point for a, was it after the first Colossus or before? I don't remember the super Colossus off the top rope.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it was before.
Yeah.
Anyways, AJ reverses something into a calf crusher.
Mm-hmm.
Jinder tries to work his way to one of the ropes. AJ rolls through, and eventually Jinder had to tap out.
Yeah.
You know, culminating the story they were starting earlier in the match with Jinder selling his leg.
Yeah.
So it was actually a decent story they
told.
Yeah,
it was. It was good.
So in that respect, it was by far Jinder's best match during his run as a main eventer.
Yeah.
Actually told a pretty good story.
I know. No, I liked it, man. I thought it was good.
And AJ looked legit beat up afterwards.
He really did. He sells really good. There was that great bit where he like went over the barrier that looked really nasty.
There was no padding on it.
Yeah. He pulled the padding off.
Yeah, and then Jinder suplexed him onto one of the announce tables.
Mm-hmm.
And AJ, you know, selling like he does, landed kind of awkwardly.
Yeah.
But I can't say with any certainty who I think AJ's next opponent is going to be. But
you'd think they'd start setting up for
they have to set for at least Rumble,
right?
Rumble, whatever the pay per view after that is. But it seems like Owens and Zayn are going to be wrapped up in this Daniel Bryan Shane story for the time being, and then
there's no reason why he should be, but Randy Orton could be wrapped up in that as well, but
potentially.
There's like zero reason for there's nothing right now for Randy Orton to do, and there's nothing for Shinsuke to do. So
they're the next two logical opponents for AJ.
They sort of have a clean slate in terms of like what they can do next.
Well, the only other option, I'll put this out there as kind of like an intermediate feud. Baron doesn't have a belt now.
Yeah, that's true.
Corbin, AJ for Rumble and where the pay-per-view is afterwards.
But God, does that leave like Bobby Roode with freaking Dolph again?
Yeah.
I cannot believe they're going to go back to that well.
Well, I think that's going to be the match at Rumble for the U.S. title. Might be on the pre-show.
I don't know, man. I'll believe that one when I see it. I think the U.S. title guy is going to be in the... Because how many other titles do you have? What's going to be defended at the Rumble? We know the top two belts are going to be defended, Universal and World.
Maybe old tag titles, women's titles. So that's 2, 4, 6.
You think Roman's carrying that IC title? And we both think that he's carrying it to Mania.
There's two options here. Elimination Chamber is a Raw pay-per-view, so it could either be Elimination Chamber match for number one contender to face Brock at Mania, or Elimination Chamber match for the Intercontinental title.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, we won't know until post Rumble how that's going to work out.
Yeah. What was defended last year at the Royal Rumble?
It was AJ Cena. It was...
That would be 2017.
Goldberg didn't have the belt then. It was Owens. It was Owens, Reigns.
All right.
It was
so
Bliss against...
The Raw Tag Team Championships were defended. The Raw Women's Championship.
Oh, Charlotte versus Bayley.
The Universal Championship. The Cruiserweight Championship. The World Championship. So the United States Championship and the Intercontinental Championship.
Okay.
And the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, none of those were defended.
Well, the SmackDown Tag Titles will be defended this year.
Because, I mean, the bottom line is you need people in the Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, it's not unheard of for people to wrestle twice.
The Intercontinental Championship is a bit of a sticky situation because of Roman.
Yeah.
So that's a weird situation. The United States Championship, nobody really cares about those guys.
Here's the thing, too. If the plan is for Roman to not win the Rumble,
mm-hmm.
then they can kind of keep him out of the match entirely by having him defend the Intercontinental title
mm-hmm.
on you know, the car itself.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. No, I can, but I think.
Also, we're going to get Braun versus, we'll get Braun versus Kane, maybe. Yeah. No, it's Braun, Kane, Lesnar for the Universal title at Rumble. That's the match.
Braun, Kane. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So I guess it would have to be either AJ versus Nakamura versus Orton or Corbin, maybe. Those are really the only options.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll find out on Tuesday. I
guess so, or at least we'll start to find out.
Or which direction they're going to go in.
Who knows?
Yeah. Anyways, we don't have any insider. We need to get an insider, man.
We do.
We need an insider. And then when Vince changes his mind, we'll have to say, well, that was the plan originally. Mm-hmm. And they changed it.
I know.
like all the other dirt sheets out there.
I know.
Look, we had the scoop, and then they changed it.
Probably someone feeding us bad information purposely.
I know, exactly. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Where's my out music? Oh, there's some out music.
There it is.
Thank you, Hilton. Hilton was with us for the live stream.
No, he wasn't.
Anyway, thanks for watching, buddy. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.